So they will keep trying, and they will keep driving this conversation about, you know, is America a Christian nation? Should we be promoting this idea in the public schools? What's wrong with having the national motto in a plaque on a wall?
Welcome to the BJC podcast as we continue our series on Christian nationalism. I'm Amanda Tyler, Executive Director of BJC. This summer, BJC and other Christian organizations launched a project called Christians Against Christian Nationalism, calling on Christians to take a stand against that dangerous political ideology. As we've discussed, it's not in response to any one event, but it recognizes the persistent threat of Christian nationalism, which seeks to merge Christian and American identities. Often, we hear Christian nationalism discussed in the news in conjunction with bills and legislative proposals that seek to infuse Christianity with citizenship. And these often come up in a wide range of proposals to create Bible classes in public schools. When done right, classes promoting religious literacy are helpful and constitutional. But anything that might send a message to our children that you have to be a Christian to be a full American is extremely problematic. On the next two episodes, we're going to take a look at the impact of something called Project Blitz. This is a coordinated effort to draft and pass bills at the state level, which are informed by Christian nationalism. In our next episode, we'll hear from a state lawmaker who stood up to those efforts and saw their impact in his state. But today, we want to get an understanding of Project Blitz. What are these bills? Where is this coming from? And what's the goal? And for that, I'm joined today by the person who first uncovered the Project Blitz plan. Frederick Clarkson is an author and journalist who currently serves as a senior research analyst at Political Research Associates. He's written about politics and religion for more than three decades, and you might have seen his work in a wide range of publications, from Mother Jones to the Christian Science Monitor. He's the author, co-author, or editor of several books, including Politics in America and Eternal Hostility, The Struggle Between Theocracy and Democracy. Last year, he broke the story on Project Blitz in a piece published by the online magazine Religion Dispatches. Fred, thanks for joining us on the BJC podcast today.
Well, thanks for having me, and thank you for doing this. I think it's the biggest such undertaking I've ever seen.
Well, we're talking with you today as part of our series on Christian nationalism. And as we get started, I'm asking all of my guests to give a few sentences on how you define or understand Christian nationalism. So what does that term mean to you?
Well, I know that people use it differently and see it differently, but at least the way I've seen it is, I see Christian nationalism as the idea that it was the intention of God and the founding fathers to establish the United States as a Christian nation, and that this idea has somehow been undermined and that that Christian nation must be restored. Thus, Christian nationalism is resorting to a mystical past, invoking a Christian nation that never was in order to justify the politics of the present.
Well, I've said elsewhere that the new campaign that the BJC is coordinating called Christians Against Christian Nationalism, for which this podcast series is a companion resource, that the campaign is not in response to any one event, but rather what we perceived as a particularly high moment for this persistent threat. And part of the surge of Christian nationalism is undoubtedly linked to this coordinated legislative effort that goes by the name Project Blitz. Now, you broke the story on Project Blitz for Religion Dispatches, and you've remained what I consider the leading expert on the topic. So what is Project Blitz?
Well, it's a state legislative campaign of the Christian right. What they did was to put in a 116-page manual that I came across the best practices, the lessons learned from successes and failures over many years of similar kind of legislative efforts, but done in an atomized fashion around the country. Thanks to the miracle of the internet, you can take all those collective lessons, put them out as a strategy manual for talking points, and best practices and anticipated arguments of the other side, and put it all in a document that's available to all of their people all over the country at the same time. So what they did then was to take the strategy manual and then to organize groups of state legislators, call them state legislative prayer caucuses. And they're modeled on the federal congressional prayer caucus, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's about 90 to 100 sitting state or federal legislators at any one time. So to take the ideas in the Project Blitz manual into state legislatures, and I think there's 36 such groups around the country now, is really the intent. Hiding behind the idea of being a prayer caucus suggests that there is no political or legislative intention, but in fact, there is.
Well, you said that you came across this manual. I wonder, you know, how long has this effort that goes by the name Project Blitz been around? And can you tell a little bit more about how you discovered it?
Sure. Project Blitz itself goes back to about 2015. And they held ceremonies with state legislators around the country, with people signing on to a declaration of principles involving preservation of the Judeo-Christian tradition. And they didn't really get around to introducing any kind of legislative project until 2016, really aimed at the 2017 state legislative sessions. But it really became a big deal with the manual that I found, because it had grown to over 100 pages. And truly, when somebody pointed out to me that it was there, I'd been looking at the website of the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, which is related to the Congressional Prayer Caucus, but for religious freedom related matters that had interested me around Religious Freedom Day. And suddenly this manual appears, and I had never seen anything like it. And I've been writing about the politics of the Christian right for more than three decades. And I'm, as a student of politics, I've never seen anyone post their strategy manual online where anybody could stumble across it. That's really, really all that happened.
And I think you're right. It's remarkably transparent in many ways in the strategy and in the stated purpose behind it, and also who's behind it. So can you describe, I know you said the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation, but can you elaborate a little bit on what that group is and maybe some of the other affiliated groups that have been working on this strategy?
Sure. The Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation was started by a former member of Congress, Randy Forbes, from the Virginia Beach area of Virginia. And he had also started the Congressional Prayer Caucus. And the foundation is a nonprofit that seeks to advance Judeo-Christian principles as they see it, and do this educational project that they call Project Blitz, among other things. So it's a traditional nonprofit. And it's something that basically hardly anyone had heard of until Project Blitz. What's important about them is they partnered with David Barton of the Pro-Life State Legislative Network and Wall Builders, and a small Christian right legal outfit called the National Legal Foundation, to compile the Project Blitz manual. And that really put them on the map. David Barton seems to be the driving ideological force with the greatest experience in these areas. So we can look to his intentions and his record as sort of a guiding principle in understanding the agenda.
In the manual, or I've also seen it called a playbook in some articles, is over 100 pages long. Can you talk a little bit about the different categories of model bills and other information that's in the manual?
Well, sure. There are three main categories. The first one generally has to do with promoting Christianity and religious values in public life. One has to do with broad categories of resolutions with the same purpose. Third category is where they really get into more serious kinds of legislation.
And what are some of the types of bills that are found in, you know, I guess principally the first or the second category of the playbook?
Perhaps the ones where they've had the most traction and we've seen the most our bills involving seeking to place the national motto, "In God We Trust," in public buildings, particularly public schools, and also resolutions commemorating Religious Freedom Day. Those have been the main ones in those categories.
The Religious Freedom Day resolutions or proclamations are particularly interesting to me, as I lead BJC, an organization dedicated to defending religious freedom. But sometimes the religious freedom that they're promoting is not exactly what I view as America's historic dedication to that value. Can you talk a little bit about what those Religious Freedom Day proclamations look like and what kind of ideology they're promoting?
Well, the model bill is less a model resolution and more of a series of suggested ideas that one might include in a Religious Freedom Day resolution. So we get a hodgepodge of the ones that have been passed out there. But they generally hit on the idea that America is founded as a Christian nation and have lots of cherry-picked quotes from other various of the founding fathers, but also generally to that somehow creating the idea that the purpose of government is to promote religion, not the idea that we've seen historically, and as is indicated in the Christians Against Christian Nationalism statement, that it's about the rights of individual conscience. Religious freedom belongs to individuals and not to the state or necessarily to powerful religious institutions. It's a bit of historical revisionism, because what Religious Freedom Day is about is commemorating the enactment of the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, written by Jefferson, shepherded through the Virginia legislature in 1787 by James Madison, which really became the template for the way that the rest of the framers thought about the approach to religion and government in the Constitution and later the First Amendment. So I was particularly struck with the Kentucky Religious Freedom Day resolution passed last year that made no mention of the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom whatsoever and has erased it from our history.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an inconvenient truth, right? That the day that they're celebrating is one that also promoted the idea of government neutrality towards religion, and that's the way that we protect religious freedom. Yet these statutes often promote an idea, or these bills, model bills, promote an idea that Christianity should somehow be privileged in our schools and in our government and in other ways.
I think that one of the striking things about the Project Blitz manual is it is titled Report and Analysis on Religious Freedom Measures Impacting Prayer and Faith in America. Now, what we see in the manual itself are issues involving basic questions of reinterpretations of separation of church and state, issues that affect LGBTQ civil rights and access to abortion, quite a range of different kinds of things. So it's the entire culture war agenda reframed as issues involving religious freedom. And this is something that we've seen evolving and coming along over a number of years. But what we've seen now is that with the entire Christian right agenda being reframed in terms of religious freedom, it changes the nature of the discourse. And I think that's one of the most important aspects.
What kind of an impact are you seeing in Project Blitz? I mean, you mentioned that bill just now in Kentucky, the In God We Trust bills. I don't know if you can kind of give our listeners a feel for what kind of traction Project Blitz is gaining in the states.
Well, traction is a relative idea. I mean, there's probably been a dozen In God We Trust bills around the country over the past couple of years that have passed, but they've been introduced in more than 20 states. So they're driving public conversation, even in losing. And they talk about this as a strategy in the manual. It's a win because they are driving the terms of debate. And as with almost any piece of legislation in any body around the country, federally, locally, sometimes it takes a number of years for legislation to actually get passed. So they will keep trying and they will keep driving this conversation about, is America a Christian nation? Should we be promoting this idea in the public schools? What's wrong with having the national motto in a plaque on a wall? This is part of the main success, I think. Now, just in the past few weeks, we've seen South Dakota busy actually hanging these plaques and painting the slogans all over the walls in public schools all over South Dakota. So it's a happening thing in some places. But even where you don't see it, it's an important part of the national conversation.
And I think in some ways, the Christians Against Christian Nationalism campaign, again, not organized specifically in response to Project Blitz, but it helps provide the other half of that conversation, particularly from the Christian voice saying, you know, not all Christians believe the same way or want to promote some kind of idea of the government endorsing, quote, Judeo-Christian values. And so I think that's part of widening that conversation, providing additional voices. I wonder what kinds of other responses or counters you've seen to Project Blitz as these bills have been discussed and debated and in some cases passed in state legislatures.
Well, there are so many different issues that come up with within the context of Project Blitz legislation. Many of them are specifically aimed at access to health care by LGBTQ people or other kinds of civil rights. So many gay activist groups are combating these things, as are reproductive rights groups, where conscience clauses are inserted into state legislation or policies aimed at individual conscious exemptions from participating in things of which they don't approve. So we see a lot of that kind of stuff. We see a wide variety of secular and religious and civil rights groups opposing these things, led by often by Americans United for Separation of Church and State, which has made focusing on Project Blitz a major priority in the past year or so. And a lot of more secular groups, traditional groups like American Atheists or the Freedom From Religion Foundation have also really risen to the occasion to try to understand these things and work with other kinds of groups, seeing that religious freedom is not just for religious people, but it's also for non-religious people as well.
Yeah, and I'm glad you highlighted the leadership of Americans United on this topic. And I think they've helped raise the profile of the bills of the first two categories that you mentioned, the In God We Trust bills, also some of the bills that are promoting Bible literacy classes in public schools. And then that third category of bills are those that you mentioned that get to more of the, you know, what we call the culture war battles, and their particular view of those issues. And that's when maybe some of the other groups have gotten more engaged to offer, you know, opposition, formal opposition to those bills. Have you seen any evidence that the Project Blitz organizers are at all adapting their strategies in response to opposition to their plans?
That I'm not sure about. I would expect so, because they're sophisticated political operators, and they know what we're wise to them. So that always makes a difference. I think they thought they could do a lot of this under the radar, but the national and a lot of the state press is picking up on this. And as that happens, and as activist groups like Americans United get more involved, it fundamentally changes the texture and the terms of debate. And I'm sure the same will happen as a result of the Christians Against Christian Nationalism aspect of this. One thing that I think that they are very concerned about, though, is that we're also wise to the larger agenda. It's not just what we call the siloized issues around separation of church and state or civil rights, but that there's a driving ideology we call dominionism that I think is the glue and the vision that holds these different pieces together within the Project Blitz strategy. We've seen Christian nationalism, you know, forever in this country. And as I say, it's a dewy-eyed view of a Christian past that never was, it somehow must be restored. But what exactly is that? If in today's America, you have to decide, well, if I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to advance the idea of a Christian nation, what exactly would that be? And so without the theologies related to what we call dominionism, which come from several strands, and basically is the idea that that Christians have to seek control over every aspect of culture and politics and government in order to fully infuse society with a Christian vision. And I think without that kind of driving ideology, Christian nationalism is so vague that it doesn't really go anywhere.
Well, that's really interesting, and I'm glad that you raised that point. You know, we've talked in the part of this series to historians like Stephen Green, who's written one of the definitive books on inventing the myth of a Christian America, and he really dates it back to the second generation of founders. So, you know, we're looking at about 200 years ago. But we've really noted how persistent this threat has been, what has allowed it to survive this long. And I think you're raising a theory that the intersection of dominionism with Christian nationalism has helped sustain it and maybe give it some new life in the past several decades. Is that a fair read of your comments?
I think so. Somehow a Christian nation, you know, is not just a look at the past, but it's a look at the future. And what does that future hold? And the idea that there's a biblical worldview and biblical principles and biblical laws that can be applied in the present is a powerful, religiously animating idea of contemporary politics. And we see it very clearly in the Project Blitz manual, where they talk about using biblical values to advance the various pieces of legislation that are supposed to reflect it.
Well, you bring up the future. You know, most state legislatures are in recess right now. So I just wonder, as a reporter and a student of Project Blitz, do you have any predictions on the future of Project Blitz and what we might be seeing when the state legislatures are back in session next year?
Well, we haven't gotten their new manual yet, and it probably won't be produced till the end of the year. But I think we will continue to see more of the same. One thing we didn't get into is that this year there were bills involving adoption and the efforts to try to allow state-funded adoption and foster care agencies to discriminate against other Americans on the basis of using religious freedom as the basis of their argument. Even as they're discriminating against the religious freedom of others, I think is something we'll continue to see more of. We saw a number of bills introduced in this past legislative session. I think they're just getting started there. Another thing that we saw in Texas this year, we'll probably see more of, and that's the conscience clause kind of bills seeking individual exemptions from having to obey various civil rights and anti-discrimination laws. In Texas, we saw one that took the model bill in Project Blitz to an extraordinary extent, where any state-licensed professional, social workers, air conditioning repairmen, you name it, would be allowed that kind of conscious exemption so they wouldn't have to serve people of whom they did not approve.
Well, thank you for raising those issues. We've, you know, just scratched the surface, but I'm glad that we've been able to give our listeners a better idea of what Project Blitz is. And I would refer them to your extensive reporting on this issue for Religion Dispatches if they want to learn more. So, Frederick Clarkson, thank you so much for joining us on BJC Podcast today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and keep up the good work.
Next week, we'll continue our discussion when we talk to a state lawmaker who's seen the impact of Project Blitz. Minnesota State Senator John Marty will be our guest, sharing his experience in the state legislature with these bills. You won't want to miss his story and what it was like to stand up to these proposals.
It's just being used to put the official government sanction on somebody's religion. And I see it's always unwelcoming that as a person of faith, I think I have an obligation to speak up and say, hey, that's not what I want.
You can listen to the BJC Podcast anytime. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. You can also hear podcasts on our website at bjconline.org. Follow us on social media and let us know what you think of the podcast and what questions you have. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BJ BJC on the Hill, and you can follow me on Twitter at Amanda Tyler BJC. Thanks for listening, and join us on Wednesday for our next episode.